Hi folks, this is Bob Main. Welcome to the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Well, because I can't carry a cop. Thank you for tuning in. This is episode number 16, and it's Monday, the 23rd of November, 2009. And I have the pleasure of recording this while I'm taking a brief road trip here to go do some business. And I'm taking advantage of some windshield time here to bring you the 16th episode of the Handgun World Show. And if you are a first-time listener, if this is the first time that you're tuning in to this show, thank you very much. The listener count continues to grow, so I imagine we've got some first-time listeners. This is a practical firearms podcast. I don't get into a whole lot of technical information here. I try to keep things pretty basic. I like to talk about carrying, shooting, owning firearms, and the practical aspects of it. Self-defense, pretty much self-defense and concealed carry related. And some of you might know me because I also do another show called Today's Survival Show, where we talk about preparedness and we talk about living a self-sufficient life. But this show here is dedicated only to firearms. And I got an interesting topic for you today, because although this is called the Handgun World Show, we're going to talk about long guns today. Every once in a while, I do this. I take a little bit of a departure from the main topic of handguns, and I talk about long guns, specifically rifles and shotguns. And the title of today's show is actually called Handguns Suck, or All Handguns Suck. Okay? And you might be wondering, well, what is this? What did I just start listening to? Here I am, I'm tuning into the Handgun World Show, and now this guy who's speaking says that all handguns suck. I will explain, I promise. I'll explain. No, I really don't think that all handguns suck, but when I make this point that I'm going to talk about today, I think that you'll understand. And what I mean is that relative to rifles and shotguns, all handguns suck. And then we're going to talk about that. I'm not saying you shouldn't own one, because I've got five of them, handguns in particular. And so obviously I wouldn't do this show, wouldn't take this time, and wouldn't have spent all the time and money and effort in owning all the handguns that I do if it wasn't something that I think was important for people to own. So you'll get the point as we move on. A couple of announcements, though, that I want to make. The main webpage, handgunworld.com, maybe that's how you found us. I'm going to start posting some other information there on some of the gun rights legislation that's going on in the world today to try to keep you up to date on some of the gun rights legislation. And also, I want to let you know, if you haven't figured out already, this show is on iTunes. And all you have to do is go to the search function for podcasts and just type in Handgun World Show. It'll pull it right up. You'll be able to direct download from iTunes if you're using an iPhone or an iPod and you want to keep up that way. Go ahead and subscribe on iTunes. And you can also, if you just want to use a regular RSS reader just to get updates, you can also go to the big orange subscribe button on the main page at handgunworld.com and you can sign up. You can also get email updates. Every time I post a new episode or put some new stuff on the blog, you can get sent an email to update you on that as well. Okay, and with that, that pretty much takes care of the announcements. I like to keep announcements and things short and sweet. I don't like these shows or any show to be a big commercial. I hate it when people do that. So let's get into All Handguns Suck, episode 16. All right, let me explain myself. Basically, we've got three types of weapons: handguns, rifles, and shotguns, all that can be used for self-defense. And since I like to keep this a pretty much self-defense-oriented show, I'm not going to talk too much about hunting, because obviously handguns don't come in too much into play when people are hunting. There are people that do hunt with handguns, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about how we use our firearms in a self-defense capacity. And oftentimes, the question is asked, especially for home defense, do I use a handgun? Do I use a shotgun? Or do I get some kind of a small carbine rifle? And in a previous show, I can't remember which one it is, but in a previous show, I made a fairly good case of why I think you should have a handgun for home defense and how I thought it was the best thing to have. I still think if you could only choose one of these, I would get a handgun. And I'm going to explain that in a few minutes. But I'm going to assume by doing this show here, I'm going to take the premise that you're able to get more than just one firearm, okay? Maybe you're in a position where you can own two or more. If that's the case, then for home defense, definitely get the shotgun or the rifle, and I'm going to explain why. But in the previous show, when I was talking about what's the best gun for home defense, I was coming from the premise that if you could only have one gun, I've seen a lot of internet posts like that, and I've heard a lot of people ask the question, what if I could only own just one gun? Handgun, because it's portable, you can take it with you, it's easier to conceal, you look pretty goofy trying to conceal an AK-47 under your shirt, all right, or concealing a shotgun under your clothing. It's portable, it's easy to hide, you can take it with you, you can get licenses to carry concealed handguns relatively easy now, so at least in most states you can. So that's why I say, if you can only own one gun, get the most powerful large caliber handgun that you can control. Key is that you can control. And I'm not going to dedicate this show to that, that's a whole nother subject and I've covered that before. But if you can get more than one, then let's talk about those three weapons. Because all three of those weapons have their pros and cons. And when I say all three of those weapons, again, I'm talking about handgun, shotgun, and rifle. All right, typically a small carbine length rifle. And so, having said that, you might wonder, where did I get the title for this show, that all handguns suck? When I took my concealed carry class, for the state of Utah. And I don't live in Utah. I live in North Texas. As a matter of fact, I live in a suburb of Dallas, Fort Worth, called Frisco. And you might wonder, well, why did you take the Utah concealed carry license? Because I also have a non-resident Utah concealed carry handgun license. For those of you that don't know, there are several states that allow you to get what's called a non-resident license. If you don't live there, you can still get a concealed handgun license from that state issued to you, even if you're not a resident. And many states accept those. And one of the reasons why I decided to get a Utah non-resident concealed carry handgun license is there are some states, at that time when I got it, there were some states that did not accept the Texas handgun license. So I decided to get a Utah, and I also got a Florida non-resident. So by possessing all three of those licenses, yeah, it cost me a little extra money, but to me, I'm worth it. Or to me, it's worth it. Excuse me. Well, I guess I'm worth it too, right? My life is worth it. I want to be able to carry my pistol in as many places as I can to properly defend myself. So now with those three licenses combined, I'm licensed in approximately 42 states, something like that. The laws change frequently, but if you're wondering which states accept a non-resident license, go to handgunlaw.us. Good website for that. Handgunlaw.us. Anyway, didn't mean to get off track there. The instructor who was teaching the Utah concealed carry license that was teaching the class that I took, he wrote up on the blackboard about halfway through the class. He decided to get and start talking about ballistics and which was the best round to carry. And he wrote up on the blackboard that he was... It was actually a whiteboard, not a blackboard, excuse me. It was a whiteboard. He wrote, "All handguns suck," in big capital letters. And you could have heard a pin drop in the room, because here we are getting handgun licenses, right? And he said he got that from somebody else that he knew in Utah, a guy named Larry Correa. I think I pronounced it right. Used to be a FFL dealer for a internet arms company, internet firearms company called Fuzzy Bunny Movie Guns. I know that sounds funny. FBMG Incorporated was their name. Anyway, Larry Correa recently put out a really good blog post, and this is where the instructor for my Utah handgun license got this from. So I did a little bit of research. Took me a while. I've been searching for this for about a week or so. I found the blog post by Mr. Correa. And I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to share bits and pieces of it. And this is what the instructor for the Utah concealed carry license shared with me on that day. So I felt it would be good topic matter for today's show. So I'm going to do some paraphrasing, kind of put some of this into my own words as I see it. But I'll share with you this post from Mr. Correa. And he was talking about the three different types of weapons. And he says, now, he says, when he teaches the concealed carry handgun license, he gets to the portion of the class, just like my instructor did, about wound ballistics. And he always tells the class that he's about to tell them a very profound truth, and that the sooner they realize this truth, the better off they're going to be. And I didn't believe this, folks. I'm going to tell you right now. When I saw this, I didn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. But I'll tell you, the more I study this, the more I'm starting to become a believer. And so Mr. Correa says, he writes up on the board, all handguns suck, just like my instructor did. And a whole bunch of laughter came from the class. Not in the class I was in. The class I was in when the instructor did that, you could have heard a pin drop. Nobody was laughing. Everybody was in shock. They couldn't believe what they were seeing on the whiteboard. And he says, now let me explain. He says, I love handguns. And see, I do too. He says, I teach people to shoot handguns. I carry a handgun on my person daily. Well, so do I. And he says, I spent a fair chunk of money on a nice new STI 9mm so I could have a better competition gun for what's called three-gun competitions. I think I know the STI 9mm that he's referring to. Probably an STI Trojan 9mm. They are good. I wish I had the cash right now to buy one, but since I don't use credit, because I believe in being debt-free, because I'm a good survivalist, I don't use credit. I have to pay cash for all of my firearms and all of my ammunition. So I'm saving up the cash. Wouldn't mind having one of those nice STI 9mm. They are over $1,000, but boy, they are a sweet gun. Anyway, Mr. Correa says, even with that information, every time I say handguns suck, it manages to offend the heck out of somebody on the internet. Now, I want to take a side note here. There are a lot of internet commandos out there. And I want you to be real careful what you read on the internet. Right? You might be thinking, well, you know, gosh, Bob, in the beginning of this show, you were pushing how you're going to be putting some posts about gun rights and things on your internet website. Yeah, I am. And I want you to know something about my show, my site, and also the survival show that I do. I go out of my way and I make it a very, very strong effort to put what I post on my blogs or my forums or what I say on these podcasts to be based in fact. I'm not always 100% right. I don't think anybody can always be 100% right. We're all humans. We make mistakes. But I really try very hard to put facts or put my opinions based on fact. All right? I don't you know, pull stuff out of the air and just throw it up on the internet. And you have a lot of people who do that. So I want to let you know right now, if some of you find something inaccurate that I say or inaccurate that I put on any of my websites, please tell me. Please point it out. John F. Kennedy once said that a mistake only becomes a problem when you fail to correct it. And I don't want mistakes to become problems. I want to correct them. Sometimes we make mistakes, we don't know it. And so I welcome comments. You'll notice that I will never close or restrict the comments on any of my web pages because I want you to comment on them. I put a post on a blog recently, and it said that it had to be approved by the administrator. And I don't like that because when they have to be approved by the administrator, it pretty much tells me that they're trying to screen the comments first, and that kind of bothers me. So if you find something that I'm not accurate with, please let me know. Please send me a comment either at handgunworld.com or you can send me an email because I've put my email address on the website. But a lot of these internet commandos, they'll get offended when you say something like handguns suck. And when you start to talk about some of the things I'm going to talk about on this program, a lot of them get kind of ticked off. And it manages to offend the heck out of somebody that's on the net. So Mr. Correa says, he says, let me rephrase what I want to say. And this is how I opened the show. He says, handguns suck relative to long guns. Now, if you put it that way, that a handgun sucks relative to long guns, then it doesn't seem to offend as many people. And what they're saying, and what he's saying here, is that stopping power, that's what sucks relative to a long gun. Again, long gun being rifle or shotgun. Okay, now let me break this down a little bit. There's really only one reason that we use handguns, and that is because they're convenient. And you know, you've heard a lot of military people say that the reason you have a handgun, what's the purpose of a handgun? The purpose of a handgun is to get you to your rifle or to get you to your shotgun, right? It's to enable you to fight your way to your rifle and to your shotgun. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Sometimes a handgun is all we have, right? Maybe you're forced to be portable. You have to be portable. You have to be able to move and conceal something, so a handgun's the only option you have. But in a home defense situation, if you got a handgun, use that handgun as a way to get you to your long gun that's also ready to go and ready to defend your premises. Now, it should be ready to go in a safe manner. There's all kinds of ways to safely store a long gun that you can load real quickly. It's easy to store a shotgun safely. And all you have to do is just, if it's a pump shotgun, just rack that pump and rack a shell into the chamber real quick and you're ready to go. Hopefully you've used your handgun to hold off the attackers long enough so that you can do that. But typically, the only reason we use handguns is because of the convenience of them. They're small, they're light, you can conceal them really easily on your body, and like I mentioned before, you'd look kind of stupid with a big 12-gauge shotgun under your sweatshirt trying to conceal that thing. But in comparison to a long gun, handguns lack a lot of stopping power. And they're a whole lot more difficult to learn how to shoot well. It's a lot easier to shoot a long gun, especially a low-recoil shotgun or a low-recoil rifle carbine. It's a lot easier to learn that, especially for a new shooter. Newbies take to shooting, especially rifle carbines, a lot quicker than they take to shooting handguns. And you can mount... anything you can mount on your shoulder is going to be a lot easier platform to get good, fast, accurate hits with than it will be with a handgun. A lot of practice is required for both of them, but easier with that long gun. And to put this into perspective, when you shoot somebody in self-defense, the goal is not necessarily to kill them. Again, you got all these internet commandos that like to talk about all this stuff. Oh, you know, they like to talk about the killing power. You know, come on. We're not barbarians here. The goal is to stop them. Stop them from what they're doing. All you want them to do is to leave you alone. You want the bad guy to quit, to stop what he or she is doing and leave you alone, to go away. Whatever it was that caused you to pull a gun on him in the first place, that's all you want to do is make him stop that action. Living or dying here is really irrelevant. You just want them to stop. And sadly, the best way to make somebody leave you alone is to shoot them in their vital organs. And that often results in the bad guy's death. So people do die from gunshots. But as a self-defense, in a self-defense scenario, you just want to stop them. If you're out there to try to kill them, that's offensive. Leave that to the military. All right? But if he dies from you shooting him, because you're shooting him in self-defense, if he dies, that's his problem, it's not yours. So, to stop somebody, there are two main ways to do it. You can stop them psychologically, or you can stop them physiologically. Right? By psychologically, I'm talking about this. It means that the bad guy stops because he decides to stop because you pull a gun and all of a sudden he goes, oh, crap, you got a gun, all right? And he quits. That's, and he runs away. That's psychologically. stopping them. Or if you shoot them and it's not fatal and they go, "Ew, that hurts, I'm done." You psychologically stop them. But, you know, unfortunately, you don't get a chance to control the brain waves of the thug that's attacking you. Right? You might get lucky, and the bad guy might just quit, and you might be the kind of guy that if he wanted to work for a living, he'd go out and get a job. So if you've got a gun and you're shooting back at him, that's work, that's pain. He's not into work and pain. He's out of there. He sees victim with a gun. In his mind, victim with a gun means work. It means pain. I'm done. You might get lucky, and that might be the kind of bad guy that attacks you. On the other hand, you might get some real crazy, evil dude hyped up on a lot of drugs, and he's not going to stop no matter what. And that guy, you're going to have to shoot, and you're going to have to shoot him, and you're going to have to stop him physiologically. And you're probably going to have to end up shooting him a lot. All right, so that brings me to the subject of physical stoppage of another person. Now, when you're legally justified in shooting somebody, and that's the whole premise of this show, folks. The whole premise of this is you've got to be legally justified. That's a whole nother subject for a whole nother show. In fact, I think I am going to do a show on some of the things to think about as to whether you're legally justified in shooting somebody or not, and I'll get to that. I'm going to take a quick pause here for a phone call. Excuse me. Okay, thanks for your patience, folks. Sorry about that. Business calls first. Anyway, when you're legally justified in shooting somebody, you want to stop them right now. So you want to hit them with something that'll do as much damage to them as possible. And if the guy, you know, think about this. If the guy attacking you bleeds to death in 30 minutes, that doesn't do you much good. Because in that time, he's already killed you, raped your family, and done anything else he wants to do in a span of 30 minutes. You want to inflict enough trauma on his body that he has no choice but to quit immediately. Okay, the problem with that, though, is that most of our knowledge, and when I say us, I mean Americans, most of Americans' knowledge about guns comes from Hollywood, comes from watching the movies. They think if somebody pulls out a .45 and shoots somebody else, that person's going to go flying backwards out the window, do a flip, roll somersaults about 50 feet, and then burst into flames and burn up, right? That's the movies. Right? That's Bruce Willis, Last Man Standing. Remember that movie? That's kind of what comes to my mind when I think about that. But that's not real life. That's Hollywood. So let's talk about what it is that bullets actually do to you. And again, you know, all these internet commandos, these internet wound ballisticians, did I say that right? These ballistics experts. All right, they might jump my case when I say this, and I'm not a scientist, all right? But I'm just going to try to take a real complex topic like ballistics here, and I'm going to kind of break this down into kind of a simple matter, and that's what Larry Correa did. And when I read this article, he simplified it better than anybody else I'd ever heard do it. And here's what he said. He said, handguns poke a hole in you. That's basically all they do. If you're using good hollow point ammunition and that bullet expands, it'll just make a bigger hole in you. The hole's going to go through a bunch of stuff that pumps blood, and the bigger the hole, the deeper the hole that you make through the important stuff that pumps blood, the more blood that's going to go out to the outside of the body and not to its destination in the inside of the body. And that's bad news for the guy getting shot, okay? But let me tell you this. The body is an amazing machine. It's an amazing creation. Human body's a lot more resilient than sometimes we give it credit for. And it's a lot more resilient than what the movies make you think it is. Your body's automatically going to adjust for as much trauma as whatever hits it. And of course, the more holes you put into a body, the more trauma that you're going to inflict on it. But that also means that the more that the body is going to adjust, and the greater chance that the body is going to be able to be more resilient based on how much impact that hits it. Now, you can shoot somebody once with a feeble handgun round, and you can instantly incapacitate them. All right, good. If that happens, you won. Good for you. What are the odds? A lot less slimmer than hitting somebody with a rifle or a shotgun. And to give you an example of that, there's all kinds of stories about people that have been shot dozens of times with a police officer's duty ammo, and they walk away from the whole incident under their own power and get into the ambulance. There are countless stories like that. Humans are amazing people. And if people can be that amazing, I don't know about you, but I want to stop them, and I want to stop them right now. I want to maximize that amount of trauma, and I want to maximize it so much that their body cannot adjust quick enough. And this is where rifles and shotguns rule the roost. Not only can I hit the guy more accurately and faster with a rifle and a shotgun, I can do a lot more trauma. You know, and I'm also talking about home defense in this show. I'm not talking about carrying out in public and concealing. So let's discard the concept of concealing right now, because that's not what I'm talking about. As I mentioned earlier, you would look pretty goofy with a short carbine or a shotgun that you're trying to hide. That's not what we're discussing here. We're talking about home and property defense. Maybe defense from with inside your vehicle. All right, so let me make a quick case for shotguns. If poking one hole is good, poking a dozen holes at a time is awesome. So think about that. That's what a shotgun does. At a range that shotguns are used for in self-defense, you got to remember something. There's really not too much spread in a shotgun. Across the room, your pattern is going to be typically about the size of a softball, maybe even a little bit smaller. And if you got a big house, maybe the size of a basketball. You still have to aim with a shotgun. Boy, I hate that myth that people like to float around, that shotguns are some magical death rays and all you have to do is just pull the trigger and some big huge boulder of death comes cruising out the other end of the barrel and that you can't miss. Not true. If you think you can't miss with a shotgun, talk to a hunter. Talk to a duck hunter, a pheasant hunter. Talk to somebody that shoots dove, shoots quail, and you ask them if it's possible to miss with a shotgun. All right? You know, think about some of these hunters. Some of them are shooting at a long distance, and they got a very widespread pattern. They got a lot of shot going out, spreading over maybe a couple of feet at least. All right? And they're still missing birds in the sky. It happens all the time. So if you think you can't miss with a shotgun, just go talk to a hunter shooting a moving target. And like I've said many times, you're likely going to be shooting a moving target, especially if it's a self-defense situation. So you can miss with a shotgun. You can still miss your intended target. But here's the beauty of a shotgun. If you hit, boy, does it ever hit. I've said this before. I challenge anybody to find me a weapon that inside of 20 yards is more devastating than a 12-gauge shotgun loaded with double-aught buck. That is, weapons that are legal for citizens to own. So when it hits, it packs a huge wallop, and that's the big plus of a shotgun, is the stopping power, the trauma that it inflicts is absolutely immense, more so than a rifle. And I know I was making fun of some of the ballistics experts and the people that get on the internet and stuff like that, but here's one thing I got to hand it to them. Few people will argue that a rifle has more stopping power than a shotgun at close ranges. Now, long ranges, that's when rifles really shine. All right, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But close range, and I mean 20 yards, 25 yards, you just can't beat that 12-gauge stoked with double-aught buck, maybe single-aught buck. Take your pick. They're both pretty devastating. But let's transition. Let's transition over to rifles now. A rifle bullet is going a whole lot faster and can do a lot more damage than a pistol at close or long ranges. And that's the key there. When you shoot something with most rifles, you're not just poking a hole, but you're actually causing trauma in the tissue surrounding the hole. And most defensive rifle bullets are designed to fragment or tumble and make even bigger and nastier holes. And especially at longer ranges. Now, I've had people say, well, Bob, you know, if you're past 20 or 25 yards, it's going to be kind of hard to claim self-defense anyway. And that is true. So let's talk about a couple of the negatives of rifles. A rifle, again, if you're shooting past 20 or 25 yards, yeah, you're going to inflict more trauma. Yeah, you've got a whole lot more stopping power than anything you could put in your hand that's legal to own. But you got some splaining to do, so you better make darn sure of what you're shooting at if it's past 20 or 25 yards. Accuracy, though, I tend to think it's a little bit easier, believe it or not, to be accurate at long-range distances, even past 15 yards even, with a rifle, because most rifles, especially self-defense rifles with self-defense loads, most of them don't recoil as much as a shotgun. Okay, a .30-06, yeah, okay, a .30-06 has as much recoil as a shotgun, but not something like a .223, even a 7.62x39 that's typically in AKs. Intermediate rifle rounds like that that are very devastating don't have the recoil of a pump 12-gauge shotgun. And a lot of those carbine rifles are semi-automatics, which means they soak up the recoil better than a pump shotgun does. But let's not think that rifles are magical death rays either. I mean, think about this. You shoot a deer with a .30-06, the wound is fatal, but how many of you deer hunters or how many of you have heard of cases where deer's been shot with a .30-06 and he keeps running for another 100 yards before he falls over dead? Right? Pretty common, right? You follow the blood trail and you find out this 150-pound deer ran for 100 yards before he bled to death. Well, same thing can happen with a human being. Just because you hit them with a rifle doesn't always mean they're going to stop what they're doing right away. Have you increased your chances? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even at close range, have you increased your chances versus a handgun? Uh-huh. Versus a shotgun? Yeah. Past 20 yards? Yes, absolutely. But remember, I used that example of a 150-pound deer. Most human beings weigh more than 150 pounds, and especially if they're hyped up on drugs, if they're high on goofballs or something like that, or if they've got, you know, all kinds of methamphetamine or whatever it is that's jacking them up, they're going to be a lot more resilient than the six-pointer, the six-point whitetail that you're shooting out there in the woods, trust me. So, does it mean someone's going to stop immediately? No. But if I have to pick one gun, and one gun only, I'm going to change my thinking a little bit. I've been a big proponent of shotguns until I started doing some research on this subject. If I have to pick one gun that's not a handgun, in other words, one gun that I'm going to dedicate to home defense, think I'm leaning more towards a carbine rifle in .223 or 7.62x39. And a lot of people think, well, Bob, what about over-penetration? Because that's one of the big knock on rifles, is that they're so powerful and they have so much penetration that they're going to over-penetrate, pass through the bad guy, go through your walls, the walls of the neighbor's house, and kill an innocent person in the house next door. Well, that could happen. And let me remind you of rule number four, safety rule number four when it comes to firearms. Be aware of your target and what's beyond it and the environment. That rule still applies. You're responsible for where your bullets go, even in a gunfight. And since you're trying to stop somebody, any round, any rifle round powerful enough to poke a deep hole reliably to damage a person is also powerful enough to penetrate a bunch of building materials. There's no such thing as a free lunch when it comes to self-defense with a firearm. But this is one benefit of using a rifle for home defense, in my opinion. with proper ammunition, with self-defense type ammunition. Hollow point 223 rounds, for example. Hollow point or soft point 7.62 by 39 rifle rounds. The more powerful rifle bullet will often penetrate, believe it or not, and I'm talking about walls, penetrate less than a pistol bullet. I'm not talking about penetrating the human body. I'm talking about after it passes through a human body and when it hits some type of a wood wall or a concrete wall. Actually, believe it or not, proper self-defense, hollow point type rifle ammunition is most likely going to penetrate less through house walls than a slower moving pistol bullet. Reason being is a lot of those high velocity, high powered rifle rounds are designed to fragment. And when you have more fragmentation of the bullet, obviously it's simply common sense is if it falls apart faster, it's not going to penetrate as much as a pistol bullet, which most pistol bullets don't fragment. All right, most decent quality hollow point pistol bullets, especially a 45 ACP pistol bullet, even a 40 caliber all copper hollow point bullet, it'll expand, but it's certainly not going to fragment. Now, you might say, well, Bob, you could shoot a handgun with fragmentary rounds, and that's not going to, you know, go through a wall either. And that's true, but fragmentary rounds can be somewhat controversial as far as their stopping power as well. There's a school of thought on that, and again, I don't want to get into a big ballistics argument, but there's a school of thought on the fragmentary rounds that they lack a lot of stopping power because they fall apart way too easily and don't penetrate enough. And that's talking about the human body, is what I'm referring to there. So a properly loaded rifle bullet for self-defense can kind of give you the best of both worlds. It can give you that awesome range, that awesome trauma, stopping power, and shock power to stop the person from doing what they're doing, but at the same time give you a chance to cut back on the over-penetration that could kill innocent bystanders in the building next door. Okay, and the other common concern about long guns of any kind, rifles or shotguns, is maneuverability. A lot of people think, well, if I have to clear my home, that long gun's going to be kind of awkward going through tight hallways and tight spaces. First of all, let me mention this. Clearing your house by yourself is usually a bad idea. Don't do that unless you have to. Let me illustrate this point. Play this game with your kids or with your spouse. Have them play the role of the bad guy somewhere in your house. All right? You stay in a room. Let them go hide. They're the bad guy. Now, you go looking for them. Play a game with your kids or with your spouse called Find the Bad Guy. See who sees who first. I know you're thinking about it already. All right, they're going to see you first. They're going to see you coming first. So if possible, take up a defensive position in your house. Pre-plan this in advance as to where you're going to park yourself. Take up a defensive position that covers the entrance to your room or your kid's room or whatever safe room that you've designated and call 911. In this scenario, if this is what you're doing, a long gun usually wins and you don't have to worry too much about maneuverability. But if you have to move through your house, you can still move with a lot more effective weapon. You can still move with a long gun with a lot of practice. You do have to practice it. And, you know, I mean, listen, there's shooting clubs you can get involved in that will help you practice types of things like this. And let me illustrate this point about maneuverability. That's kind of a myth, too. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about somebody holding a handgun with their arms fully extended in the proper shooting position, an isosceles stance or a Weaver stance. You know, they've got their arms all the way out. They've got their elbows locked. They're holding the handgun. I want you to think about the distance from their shoulders to the muzzle of that handgun. It's not much shorter than if somebody's holding a 16-inch rifle, carbine-length rifle, for example. Okay, if you're holding a short Ruger Mini 14 or a short 16-inch barreled AR-15 or a real short shotgun, It's really not sticking out much further than the muzzle of that handgun would be with your arms fully extended. Well, if you're trying to move through a tight space with your arms fully extended, you pretty much have almost the same maneuverability problem that you've got with a long gun. All right, so where am I going with all this? Where I'm going is, my personal opinion is, also remember rule number one of a gunfight, and that is, have a gun. A .22 caliber revolver beats a pointy stick. If your personal situation only allows you to have a handgun at home, like I mentioned, and that's all you can have, then fine. Own the handgun and use it. Learn what its limitations are, and then go practice shooting that under stress. But if possible, and if your situation allows you to have a long gun, get that and practice, and learn how to shoot that under stress. Now, shotgun or rifle? Well, that's personal preference. I guess you need to ask yourself, which one do you shoot better? You know, if you've shot a million rounds through your 870 Wingmaster shooting sporting clays, then keep an 870 shotgun or a Mossberg 500 handy with a double-aught buck. If you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds and you're accurate and you're proven with a shotgun, fine. Then keep that and keep that loaded in your house and keep that ready to go. And I tell you what, I'm not going to come invade your house at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can guarantee you that. And I'm not going to fault you for keeping that. But if you shoot an AK or an AR-15 or a Ruger Mini 14 or something like that a little bit better, then I would suggest keep that. Do a little reading about what ammunition is available, because there's a lot of good ammunition out there, again, that doesn't over-penetrate through walls but has plenty of good stopping power. Pick a good load and you're good to go. And if you're kind of new to both types, if you're new to long guns in general or just guns, let me suggest this. A carbine is typically easier to learn to shoot, as I mentioned, has less felt recoil, and it can usually hold more rounds. That's the other benefit, is, you know, when the zombies come, and, you know, it's not a matter of if the zombies are going to come. They're going to come someday. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here. I'm not trying to wear a tinfoil hat and think that the world's going to be coming to an end at any moment. And maybe I shouldn't use the word zombies. Maybe that's a little bit too extreme, but there's going to come a time where you are probably going to face multiple adversaries. Criminals tend to work in packs these days, and even if it's something like a home invasion. Home invasions sometimes now, in fact, oftentimes, it's more than just one person. It's a package of two or three, sometimes even four, invaders that are trying to get into your house. Having more ammunition capacity is a plus. Same with handguns. So, a carbine rifle that holds 20 rounds, 25, 30 rounds, that capacity is going to do you more good, typically, than a shotgun with five or six. Again, I'm not knocking either one, and like I said, you know, you're pretty deadly and pretty fierce with that 12-gauge that you're a good shot with. In reality, they've all got their pros and cons, but whatever long gun you choose, choose it, buy lots of ammunition with it, practice a whole lot, and get good with it. And as I mentioned in one of my other shows, there are plenty of shooting clubs that also offer carbine matches and shotgun tactical matches. Don't just go to shooting matches and practice with your handgun. Don't just go to the range, even if you stand there and shoot paper targets. Don't just shoot your handgun all the time because it's easier to shoot or maybe cheaper to shoot. Whatever long gun you choose, whether it's the carbine or whether it's the shotgun, get lots of ammo, lots of magazines, and practice, practice, practice. Get good with it. And again, about the over-penetration argument, don't worry so much about the over-penetration. Worry more about whether you're missing your target. You know, nobody ever mentions that. I think I brought this up on another show, but I'm going to bring it up again. Nobody ever mentions what happens to your bullets if you miss. Everybody's so hung up on over-penetration. What happens if I shoot somebody and it goes through them and hits an innocent bystander? Have you ever thought about the fact that missing can also, whatever bullets miss, can also hit an innocent bystander? And you're going to do just as much damage to innocent people if you're not hitting what you're shooting at. What's the definition of gun control? Gun control is hitting where you aim, right? So remember that. Focus more on something that is easy and feasible for you to shoot, and that's why everybody says use the biggest caliber that you can control. Keyword is control. Same thing applies for shotguns and carbines. If a 20-gauge shotgun is what you can control more effectively than a 12-gauge, use a 20-gauge. Did you know that a 20-gauge with double-aught buck has four times the stopping power of a 45 ACP handgun? Four times. It's like getting shot four times with a 45, a 20-gauge. So get good with your 20-gauge. If it's more manageable, if it's lighter and the recoil is better, whatever it is, make sure that you can score quick, concise, and deadly hits with it. That's much more important than anything else. And so with that, I hope that I've given you some things to think about, and I'm going to bring this show to a close. Again, just a quick review. All handguns suck. With respect to stopping power, compared to carbines and shotguns. Whatever you get, though, go practice. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Handgun World Show. Hope I got you thinking. And I hope when you make your next purchase, you remember this podcast. This is Bob Main, and you've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World Show. And why do I carry a gun? Maybe even why do I carry a long gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.